Last Sunday, we read the faith response of Zechariah when he encountered Gabriel in the temple, the angel Gabriel. And the angel announced to Zechariah, "You will have a son, and he will be John." And that, of course, is John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ. His whole purpose was to go ahead of Christ, to preach repentance, to bring Israel back to God and prepare the way for the Lord. And you might remember that even though Zechariah had lived a faithful life in that moment with Gabriel, he had a bit of a faith crisis there, just for a bit. And he said, "How can all this happen? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. How are we going to have a baby?" In other words, he was asking for a sign, some sort of reassurance. And remember what Gabriel said? "Here's your sign. You'll be mute until the baby is born. And you can't tell anybody about all this, even though this is God working in your life." We talked about how John's birth is intertwined with the birth of Jesus because John was the forerunner. He was selected before he was born to go ahead of Jesus and prepare the way. John the Baptizer, he went before the Lord to call people to repentance and to tell them to look out for the Messiah who's coming. He even directly identified Jesus of Nazareth as the anointed one. Well, today, we were looking at Zechariah's faith last week. Today we want to look at his wife's faith and see how Elizabeth, John's mother, responded to this announcement that she would bear a son in her old age and that he would be blessed and anointed to prepare the way for the Lord. And now, even though Zechariah was unable to speak, he obviously communicated with Elizabeth somehow by writing or somehow when he went back home. And she has, by the time we get to the, when we get to the reading we're looking at today, we see that she is already with child. So she's seeing the Word of God come about. She's seeing evidence of the Word of God. And we read briefly last week the initial response according to Luke's record there in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. It says, when Zechariah finished his time of service at the temple and he went home, and after that his wife conceived, became pregnant, and secluded herself for 5 months. And then here's what she said: "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people." The Lord's announcement to Elizabeth came true. Exactly what she was told happened. She conceived. She was with child. And she recognized that it was God's work. She knew this is not normal. People my age do not conceive and bear children. This is from God. She said, "The Lord has done this. He has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace." And of course, the disgrace she mentioned was the social disgrace of a woman in her time and in her place being barren. And the people would have assumed that God had something against her, or that she had sinned in some way, that she had not had a child until then. And of course, it says she secluded herself for 5 months. Her statement is such a clear statement of faith. This is God's work. This, what's happening is God at work in my life. And then Luke shifted the story to Gabriel's visit to Mary in Nazareth. We're not going to read that part because we're going to save it for next week, right? The Sunday before Christmas, we're going to do Mary's part. But we want to look at the time. Luke was careful to lay out a timeline. He says that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel went to Mary. and made the announcement to her that she would be with child, even though she had never been with a man, and that her child was in fact the Messiah, that she would conceive supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and would her baby would be the Messiah himself. Now that's a big story, right? I mean, obviously, it's history changing. But like I said, we're going to hold that part, and I want to jump ahead to verse 39 to look more at Elizabeth's response. We're looking at Elizabeth's faith today. So Gabriel has already made the announcement to Mary. And in verse 39, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she went into the home of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, the baby jumped, leaped in her womb. And she said to Mary in a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? When the sound of your greeting touched my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she blessed is she who has believed the Lord, that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Again, Mary's declaration that this is God at work. This is God at work. First of all, I want to point you towards some literary structure here that's just pretty cool. And I don't know literature stuff very well, but I read this. I think it's important. It helps us understand how Luke wrote, and he builds things into this story that are pretty remarkable. First of all, he's telling this story from Mary and Elizabeth's perspective. That was quite unusual for his day. You know, Matthew tells it from Joseph's perspective, and any good Hebrew fellow would. But here comes Luke, who's not as Hebrew, and he tells it from the women's perspective. And by the way, he also highlighted several women's stories throughout the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And he says, Mary traveled from Nazareth in Galilee. That's north of Jerusalem. She traveled down to the hill country to visit Elizabeth. And of course, Elizabeth was much her elder, so she's showing respect here. Elizabeth was the wife of a priest. That makes her a little more honored. Mary comes to her. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. She doesn't need to be walking 70 miles. And that was one estimate I read about the distance that Mary would have traveled. 70 miles to get to this little town outside of Jerusalem where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. Mary went to her home. Mary was showing respect to her elder relative, Elizabeth. But then Elizabeth turns the table. She flips the script, so to speak, and her faith response, and when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 42, she says in a loud voice, she claimed, blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? The baby leaped in my womb upon hearing your greeting. Do you see what's going on there? When Mary enters the home carrying the baby Jesus, God, and Elizabeth hears her voice and is filled with the Holy Spirit, and her baby is filled with the Holy Spirit. And do you see what's going on there? God is communicating with the one he chose to be the announcer, right there in the wombs. And of course, these ladies are enjoying it. They get to be present for all of this, and they feel the power of the Spirit. She said, "The baby leaped in my womb. Blessed are you." So what we see here is the elder lady who was full of faith and blessed with the Holy Spirit. She's blessing the younger woman. The elder is now blessing the younger. She realized that God had chosen Mary for this incredibly high calling to bear the Messiah. And God's promises were being fulfilled in a much, much younger woman. Mary could have easily been a teenager. In her culture, that would have been marrying age. Although we do not know exactly how old she was. And to be fair, like I mentioned earlier, Elizabeth had had more time to process these events than did her husband when he first heard it from Gabriel. Elizabeth had a little bit of time to soak it in. She had already conceived. She was 6 months along at this point, and she was seeing the evidence of God at work, and she knows people my age do not bear children. This is amazing. This is God. And Luke tells us several ways just how firm, how sound Elizabeth's faith is. The Lord has done this. Blessed are you and your child. Why am I favored with the mother of my Lord? Isn't that an incredible statement? The mother of my Lord. My baby leaped when your baby came in. And then she spoke blessing over her. Just over and over, indication at how firm Elizabeth's faith was. Elizabeth was a woman of faith. She had lived faithfully. She received this radical, startling news with faith. She acted in faith. She spoke in faith. She received Mary with faith that all of this was God's movement to bring his Messiah. I hope you're encouraged by Elizabeth's faith. May we be willing. May we be ready to move when God says move. Now, I don't expect any of us to hear from Gabriel personally. We could. God's still in that business, but it's not my expectation that any of us will receive an individual message from Gabriel. But we do have his Spirit. We're promised his Spirit. And his Spirit speaks to us. God brings messages through his Spirit. May we be ready. May we be willing to move when he says move, to receive the news that he has and to see what he's doing around us and join with him. May we be busy preparing ourselves for the Lord who has come and will come again. And we know that during the interim, while we wait for his second coming, he has given us a mission. It's stated very clearly. In all of the New Testament Gospels, we're told, even in the book of Acts, we're told, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're to be doing now. You see, we have a high calling too. Mary and Elizabeth were normal people. They weren't angels disguised in people bodies. They were people. But they were women of faith, and they were prepared for God's movement when he announced it. May our faith bless the Lord. May our faith help others come to Christ. May our faith encourage other Christians wholeheartedly who commit to the Lord. David Hogan texted me some information about what they're doing in Lesotho this week, and he said, basically, we have three objectives. Share the gospel. Reinitiate relationships in the village where we worked last in 2019. That was pre-COVID. And to disciple people who already have faith. And of course, they will be encouraging other Christians along their way. And what they've gone to Lesotho to do is the same thing we want to do here. We want to help people come to Jesus, know Jesus. We want to disciple them, help their faith build up, and encourage them along the way. It occurs to me, we could study about Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and all these characters and their faith and think, that's cool, that's great, those are neat people. But how do we prepare ourselves for such a movement? Like I said, I don't expect Gabriel to show up in person. But we know that God calls on us to do that. How do we be ready to move out in faith? And I don't have any new formula for you. You know what we need to do. First of all, we need to receive by faith the grace of Jesus Christ to forgive us and to save us and to grant us eternal life. We have to receive that. We have to put our faith in Christ. Without that, it doesn't matter what else we do. It doesn't matter how many studies we go to or how many church services we attend. We must put our faith in Christ. And then we need to get to know God more. We need to know God. And folks, it's the same thing we teach all the time. To do that, we need to get into the Word. We need to know God's Word, and we need His Spirit to illuminate that Word, to press it into us, to help us understand it and believe it. This is how faith grows. And we need to practice our faith in the small, everyday things of life. Practice putting our faith to work. So that when the big day comes, when the big call comes, we're ready. We've practiced our faith. We've put it to work. We've grown it up. And we're ready to move when God says move. I hope you're encouraged by Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and their faith. And like I said, next week we'll come back to Mary's response there in Luke chapter 1. Music team, if you'd come, please. I pray that in these next days leading up to Christmas that you will worship. That you will worship with abandon, with just great joy. Imagine the angels coming to your sheep pasture, announcing the birth of the Savior, and rejoice that He has come and that He's coming again. The Messiah will come again and redeem His church. He will come back to take His church home. Do you believe it? Does it affect your life? Let's stand up and sing about it and praise the Lord.